some things from the Word of God tonight, and then we'll take some time to go off air, if you will, and give our prayer requests and do all of that here in a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in your Bibles tonight, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to share some thoughts with you tonight that I hope will be a help to us and encourage us tonight. I tell you, a lot of negative things are going on, and a lot of problems and troubles and trials are going on. And may the Lord help us. And aren't you glad you're saved? You know the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad you're able to come to church? You know, I was actually today, this morning, I was over at the Kinston Hospital. I'd go over there like once a month and serve as a chaplain. And honestly, we go room to room and just say, hey, I'm the chaplain on duty today, and can we help you? Can we pray with you? And it's a pretty good thing. Not all hospitals do it, but they do it. And while I was there, though, I was working a certain floor, and I got a call from the emergency department. And they said, we got a request for a chaplain. So I said, okay, I'll be there in a few minutes. And a young girl, and I think she was from a mental place, but she just young, I say young, 20s, I guess, and, you know, well, the demons are in here, I see them, they're over there, I'm hot, I'm burning, I don't want to go to hell, but, you know, it was a behavioral, mental thing, but you do the best you can, right, and you give them the gospel, but I tell you what I did, I told her, I said, well, look, I said, I'll tell you how Jesus got rid of the devils. And in fact, when I got there, by the way, she had a little Gideon Bible in her hand. I said, well, let me hold that Bible. So we went to Matthew 4, and I told her how Jesus got rid of the devil. It is written over and over. And I read the Bible to her. Well, then I gave it to her, and I said, I want you to read this. So she started reading it. She starts, I'm feeling better. I think I'm feeling better, you know, all of this. I know a lot of times they like attention, you know, some of that. But anyway, when I just told her, I said, you keep reading that Bible out loud, you'll feel better. Devil ain't gonna hang around with that. I went out, I talked to the male nurse that called me there, and he told me a little bit about the situation. I mean, she was a little off the wall on some stuff, so, you know, it's hard to, you know, just give the gospel. And I mean, she said, I believe, and all this. But I tell you what, whenever I left, she was sitting in that room reading that Bible out loud, right on, kept on going. So I was like, that's what I told her to do, just keep reading that Bible out loud. So, you know, I hope. But I'm just saying this. You know, a lot of people, they don't have the upbringing. They don't have church upbringing. They're not grounded. A lot of problems out there. And the devil, it is spiritual warfare, by the way. So, look, if you've been raised in church or you've been in church a long time and you got the privilege to come to church, thank God for it. Amen. You got a Bible and you can read it yourself, right? Anyway, you just never know what you'll get into, right? And when you do that, by the way, go room to room and there's a lot of sad cases, I tell you. In fact, I had a doctor. I skipped one room because it was busy, and I went into another room. Well, an Indian doctor came, and he said, I want you to go to 44, whatever it was. And he said, that's a hospice case. I thought that was pretty interesting. The doctor wanted to make sure they got a visit, you know. And so tried to go in and talk with them and pray with them and leave them some information and try to help them out. But anyway, God is good to us, amen, but a lot of people need the Lord. That's just what it reminds us of. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's read some verses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's just read, I think I'll read the first 11 verses here. So let's just look at it here. The Bible says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And that's my thought tonight, the God of all comfort. Aren't you glad you know the God of all comfort tonight? And He knows you, amen? He's the Father of mercies. I preached that on that Sunday night, mercies. And He's the God of all comfort. Verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. By the way, when God puts the word comfort in one verse that many times, there's an emphasis there, right? And he says, you get comfort so that you can comfort others. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual unto the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for our consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. Think about that. In this life, in your earthly Christian walk, there's going to be suffering, right? But he said you're also going to have consolation, comfort, strength, help, joy in the morning. Amen? Not only in heaven, but that is true, but you can have it down here on the earth too. Amen? The Lord will help you. All right, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even in life. But we had a sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, that is, continually, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Verse 11 again, ye also helping together by prayer for us. You believe prayer meeting is important? Do you believe your prayers help other people? Paul said, I'm getting help from your prayer. I've heard people say that. I can feel the prayers. I mean, I can feel the effect that people are praying. Aren't you glad people are praying for you? Amen? And if you want to help somebody, you know, don't ever tell somebody, hey, look, if I can help you, let me know. Otherwise, I'll pray for you, as if prayer's not help. Paul was like, no, prayer is help. You know, sometimes we think, I'll help you. I'll do whatever I can for you. And I'll pray for you too, almost like it's a secondary thing. Well, now let's include that as I'm praying for you. How else can I help? Amen, right? And let's keep praying for each other. Let's pray right now. Father God, direct us tonight in our thoughts, and thank you for your word. And I pray you bless the reading of it in our midst this evening. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Aren't you glad the Bible is relevant for whatever situation you're going in? I don't really know all of what Paul was referring to. He was talking about some trouble that he had in ministry. I don't know all the details. Now, we do know some things that Paul faced. Some of the things that Paul faced, we read about. Other things are implied in some of the details of what he gave here, alluded to. We may or may not have an account of it, but we do know one thing. Paul went through a lot of trouble. And if Paul's going to go through a lot of trouble, you and I, we're not exempt, right? If the perhaps greatest Christian went through all of that, we'll know it too. So Paul here speaks of his trouble, his trials, but he also speaks of comfort and deliverance. Let's not always speak of our trials and our troubles when we can also praise God for comfort and deliverance at times. Amen? We want to get the right balance of that. So I'm glad he included both in here. We don't want it to always be doom and gloom all the time, you know. I've told you, I've known people in the past. I think of one man back home that he was doom and gloom all the time, so I just stopped asking him how he was doing, honestly, because it was not going to go good. I ran into his brother some time back, and he was laughing. He said, I remember you pulling up in the yard, and you asked my brother how he was doing, and you had to listen to it for 30 minutes, you know, and all of that. But I was like, well, yeah, every time. And he's in another church now, that guy is. I asked his pastor how he was doing. He said, well, he's been having some problems here lately. And I'm thinking, always has, you know. But so anyway, some people just focus on it, right? Let's try not to focus on it. Amen. Let's try to focus on God is good too, right? And let's try to remember that. Now that does belittle our troubles. We know that we're going to have some troubles. We know that. And Paul knew that subject very well, the subject of suffering. He knew it very well. He talked about it all the time. He told about it all the time. But he also told about the goodness of God. Paul was able to get all of that right. So let's do that as well. He was learning about God. He learned about how God works. And we learn from him. And that's why he was an example to this church. This is the second letter to Corinth, by the way. The first letter was really a scathing letter that dealt with their sins and their issues and their problems and straightened them out. In the second letter he wrote, it was more biographical, it was more personal, it was more about his ministry, it was more about himself. Honestly, it was. So if you read 2 Corinthians, you'll learn a lot more about Paul. He almost sounds like David in the Psalms in some ways. And he's sharing truths of what's going on and what's happened to him. So we understand he was learning all the time, learning about the Lord. He said he wanted to learn about the power of his resurrection. That is the strength of God. You know, God's in the business of making himself known. Amen, right? I mean, creation itself tells us there is a God, right? I mean, creation itself leaves man without excuse to say there is a God. And if we'll search for him, we can find him. I've always said, you know, you go into the jungle of Africa, and you'll find them worshiping the sun and the trees. They don't know what to worship. That missionary lady that led my mother to the Lord, she went into a jungle like that, and the chief of that jungle told that missionary crew, I have been praying if there is a God up there, that he would show me himself. And those missionaries were like, that's what we're here to do. And so God answered that man's prayer. Why? Because he knew there's got to be a God. He asked for a God, and God sent him missionaries. And he got saved, by the way. Thank God for things like that. But people just need to look around and say, God is revealing himself. Now, not only in creation, he revealed himself mostly, according to John chapter 1, in his Son, Jesus Christ. And then he reveals himself again in his witnesses and in the Great Commission of his church going into the world and telling people about it. So God's in the business of revealing himself. But you know what? To you as a Christian, going through troubles and trials and problems and sufferings, he is further revealing himself to you. Paul said we're partakers of his sufferings. Paul was getting to know the Lord by suffering. He said it here, that he suffered with the Lord and suffered. In verse 5, he says, for as our sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. So he said, I'm suffering because of Jesus, but I'm also getting through it by Jesus or with Jesus or by the help of the Lord. And I'm learning about his suffering. So we're going to have some troubles and trials and problems and sufferings. We don't always understand why. Well, Jesus had it. So we're not exempt from it ourselves. So, you know, we go through the Bible and, Moses, Don't you read about people like Moses and you think, man, these guys, they never have a problem. Moses never had a problem in his life, did he? I mean, Moses had the easiest life. Y'all ever get jealous leaving? I'm kidding, okay? You know I'm kidding, right? Moses, you say, oh, Moses, man, everything's perfect with Moses. No, it wasn't. The meekest man, God said about him, a man of faith. Abraham, the friend of God, a man of faith. He had some troubles, didn't he? A man that was godly and righteous named Job. Boy, he learned some things about the Lord, didn't he? He went through some things with the Lord and all the disciples, and of course, David and Joseph and all the rest of them. So we're going to learn some things about the Lord. But let me just give you three thoughts tonight, here tonight. One is this. He's the God of compassion. He mentions that here. As well, that he is the God of compassion. In other words, he cares. Verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But then he says, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. And we know the Bible, I told you this recently, if you look it up, how many times the Bible uses the word compassion in relation to Jesus. He looked upon them and he had compassion. I mean, over and over, he looked at this person that needed healing and he had compassion. It says a lot of times if you get to look in your concordance or you know, if you've got an exhaustive concordance like a Strong's or something, so you can find every instance Jesus was a person of compassion. That's because he's a God of compassion, right? And here he's talking about our Father of mercies. I enjoyed preaching on the mercy of God the other night. And here we see it as well, that he's the Father of mercy, divine mercy. Paul mentions it over and over and over again. Now, if you ever thought about this, what if God up in heaven, the Creator, was a big, mean monster instead of a God of love? How would life be, right? I mean, what if God was one that enjoyed just, you know, I think I'll go to Snow Hill and stomp on those people today. You know, what if that's what God was like? He's not, thank God. I mean, he's not like that. He's a God of comfort. He's a God of compassion. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy.
Amen.
What, he could be otherwise, but he didn't make a bunch of robots out of us and just thump us around whenever he wants to. He gave us the ability to choose him and love him and follow him. I mean, he put Adam in a perfect place. God didn't ruin it. Man ruined it. Right? Adam ruined it. God didn't. God put him in a perfect place. It's man that ruins these things, not God. He sent his son to die on a cross, a cruel, cruel death. Why? Because he loves us. He died for us. Don't blame God. Blame Adam. Blame Eve. Blame yourself. Right? You know, Romans 5 says, Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Why do we have the obituaries? Why do we have funerals? Why do we have the separation of death? Because of sin. And he said, it is by one man. But so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. So we all have brought, but we need to know that sin and Satan and self, that's the problem in the world. That's why we have trouble and trial. That's why we need a God of compassion. Amen? Aren't you glad you can lean on the Lord? Sickness and sorrow and death, that's all the results of sin, right? But God cares. He's a God of compassion. He already knew it was going to happen, and he already had a plan and a remedy. There is a bomb in Gilead, amen? He already had a plan for it. Thank God he was going to send his son. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Thank God we have victory in Jesus. The Bible tells us that. I mentioned this the other night. Grace, the grace of God gives us what we don't deserve, which is forgiveness and love, right? The mercy doesn't give us what we do deserve, which is justice and punishment and hell, right? Thank God he is a God of compassion. There's a preacher that was driving with his daughter in the car, and a big truck passed by. And you know how it is, a big truck comes by you, and it was like a shadow came over him. And the preacher asked his daughter, he said, would you rather get hit by the truck or by the shadow of the truck? Well, that's an easy answer, amen. But you know, he said, you know what? He said to die without Christ, that's getting hit by the truck. To die with Christ, that's just going through the shadow of death. Amen. Sure we die. But it's just the shadow of death as we're going into eternity. Amen? Right? Even true for your loved one who died in Christ. It's just a shadow of death because you got a grand reunion awaiting you. Amen? With your loved ones up there in heaven. Why? Because there is a God of compassion that we have. Let me say number two. Number two is this. He's the God of comfort. The God of comfort is number two. So again, here Paul's talking about his ministry. And he's talking about his troubled ministry. I mean, read Romans chapter 8, folks. That's a pinnacle in the Bible. And he talks about all the tribulation, trials, the perplexing things that cannot separate us from the love of God. But he went through all those perils that he talked about. He talks here about things that he's really saying there in verse 8, I think it is, that he had been in the shadow of death. I mean, you know, people did want to kill him, and there were times that God delivered him from physical, literal death, persecution, martyrdom, right? So he's talking about those things here, but he's also talking about that God is the God of comfort that helped him get through those things. I was about to say Paul had a heart attack. I maybe he did. I don't know. He might have had several heart attacks, but I know he had heartache. Amen. That's what I was getting at. He had heartache. He had a lot of heartache, didn't he? He had a lot of things weighing on his shoulder. But I'm talking about the God of comfort. He said that several times there in verse 4. And then he uses the word comfort and consolation, pretty much the same words there. Comfort, not just sympathy. Sympathy is one thing, but you know, sympathy doesn't always help you. Comfort can strengthen you. Sympathy, you know, you can have sympathy on somebody and you may not help them. Matter of fact, by sympathy, you might just enable them to continue in a bad way or in a bad pattern, right? You're sympathetic towards them. They might need something more than that. And comfort is more than that. The Bible talks about the comforter of the Holy Spirit. So the Greek word there about comfort is to come to our side and to give aid or strength. If somebody stands by your side during a hard trial in your life, what is that saying? It's not just that I have your back. I'm here beside you. I'm standing with you. I'll be with you. I'll go with you. I'll walk with you through this valley. Aren't you glad for good people you have like that? Church people, church family, your own family, a couple of great friends perhaps. You don't get a whole lot of good friends like that in your lifetime. But you may have some that have stood by your side while you went through your deepest valley. Thank God that you've got people like that. And, of course, that could be your spouse. Amen. And thank God for that and helping one another out. But we've got the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says He is our comforter. The comforter hath come. And The idea there is that He came to our side to stand by us and to be with us. And, of course, we know He's within us, too. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We were talking about this recently, about in the Old Testament, it's a different dispensation, and God did things differently. The Holy Spirit would come upon a person for a special task. But in the New Testament, He comes in the person forever, and you're sealed with, and He's there to help and lead and guide and give wisdom and direction, amen, and peace that passeth all understanding. Do you like that? That's comfort. That's aid. That's strength. That's help. That's sustaining grace, too, amen. Y'all like having a God like that? Aren't you glad He's not a big, mean God up there? He's a God of compassion, and He's a God of comfort that's there to help us. And we all have needed to lean on those everlasting arms of compassion and comfort many, many times. Amen. You've been through low times. You've been through low valleys. I'm looking at people out there. You've been through it, right? You've had your times. Amen. Everybody does. Everybody goes through those times. Somebody called me the other day and about something, and they said, "Well, how are you doing? I've heard this, I've heard that." And boy, I said, "Well, it's just been quite a year, I'll say that." You know, he's, "Well, I've heard about it." You know, I said, "Okay, well, thank you. I don't want to talk about it. What you calling for besides that?" Amen. You know, but anyway, you go through those times, but thank God you've got God there to help you. But let me say number three, He's the God of deliverance. Compassion, comfort, deliverance, God of deliverance. Now, in verse 10, He says, "Who delivered us?" I'm going to use that Bible word there. "He delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver." So there's past deliverance, there's present deliverance, there's ongoing deliverance, there's future deliverance. Hey, has God brought you through some things in the past and you don't think He's going to help you out this time, do you? You're worrying and fretting this time as if He didn't help you that time. I tell you what, folks, that's what faith is. To say, I know God has not abandoned me, God has not forgotten me, and God still has a future plan for us. He said He's delivered in the past. He's continuing to deliver, and He will yet deliver. I don't know how. I don't know how He did some stuff He's done in the past. We've all seen God do some things in the past that we just, it was the answer to prayer, and, you know, thank God for it. You got me through it. You helped me with it. But, Lord, I got a problem now, and I'm kind of wondering where you're at. He's still there. Amen. He's still God. So Paul knew it by experience. He knew it by the truth of the Word of God. We know it by the truth of the Word of God because what he said there in verse 10, he wrote it down in under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But he was writing from his experience as well. And you know by experience, and Paul knew by experience that God was there. Now, he describes there some tremendous stress, if you will, in verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble. So he told them some about it. He said that we were pressed out of measure. I guess that's a good way to say we were just crushed. Pressed out of measure. Just pressed out of measure. Pressed, I mean, the weight was so heavy. Yeah, I was just crushed under it, he says. Pressed out of measure, above strength. It was above his strength. It was stronger than him. Insomuch that we despaired even of life. He thought he was going to die. Maybe he did have a heart attack. I'm not adding to the Bible, folks, but it almost sounds like he had a heart attack right there, doesn't it? I'm just saying that because I almost said it earlier by accident when I meant to say he had heartaches. Amen? But it almost sounds that way or something like that. He thought he was going to die. It could have been a martyrdom situation. It could have been a... Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Jesus knew. Jesus in the garden. How close might he have come to dying right there as he prayed and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood? I mean, that stress where the blood vessels are bursting, right? Mixing in with the sweat. I mean, that's pressed out of measure right there. Jesus faced it. Jesus went through it. Paul says he faced it and went through it. But yet, then he tells us about how God delivered, is delivering, and will yet deliver us. That's how he closed verse 10. He will yet deliver us. He said, I'm trusting him. I'm trusting him with this trial. I'm trusting him with the next trial. He's the God of all comfort because he not only is sympathetic, or empathetic, he's my comforter, he's my aid, he comes beside me, he's in this with me, amen, right? You say, well, you know what, I feel bereavement, I've experienced bereavement, I know grief, the Lord doesn't know grief. Yes, he does. He lived on this earth. He wept at Lazarus' grave. He knows what that is, right? You say, well, I'm tempted by something terribly. The Lord doesn't know. Yes, he does. He was tempted in all points, like as we. Well, I've been betrayed by a close friend. The Lord doesn't know. Yes, he does know about that, right? You name it, he's done it. He's been there. He's walked in our shoes. You say, well, I've got financial pressure. The Lord doesn't know about financial pressure. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. His father does, but he had to send Peter fishing and work a miracle to get a coin to pay his taxes with, right? He said, I don't have a pillow to lay my head down. If you want to follow me, fine, but I don't have a pillow to lay on. He lived in poverty. So the Lord doesn't know poverty. He does. He's been there. The Lord doesn't know emotional pain or physical pain or spiritual pain. Yes, he does. He knows it more than we do. He's our high priest because he's already been there and overcome it. And he said, it's more expedient for me to go and send you the comforter. Why was that?
Because Jesus could go back into heaven because he was just one man, one person in one location. But he goes back into heaven and he sends his spirit to indwell and be with in an omnipresent way all of us at one time. So now he's with us. He was with them in person. But now he said, it'd be better for you if I leave because then I can be with all of you all the time in spirit. Wow. And he said, the Spirit is the comforter, so I'm going to be right by your side all the time. So you realize the Lord's right by your side all the time? He's in your heart. He's in your life. Good to have the Lord in your life. Amen? He's right there with us all the time. Now, just let me see. That's not the verse I was... Oh, verse 20... Look at verse 21. Verse 20, jump down to 21. Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. Look at this verse, 22. Who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You know what earnest is? I'm going to give you a down payment. The rest will be coming later. That's what it is. Do you know the Holy Spirit is like a little bit of heaven on earth and it's just a down payment and you'll get the rest of it later? You might have to go through the door of death or maybe the rapture, but you've got the earnest, the down payment, the presence of the Holy Spirit with you right now. That's just, he's just saying, hey, I'm going to give you peace and comfort and help and aid by the Holy Spirit, but that's just really, that's just a little bit of it. You're going to get the full payment later on. We're looking for it in heaven. Amen, right? We're going to get the full payment later on. You've got comfort right now. You know what? When you get to heaven, it's going to be comfort and no trouble or trial forever. No sorrow, no trouble. Amen. God is the God of comfort. He's the God. He said it. He's the God of all comfort. He's the Father of mercies. He's the God of all comfort, and he can deliver in ways that we would never even imagine. From day to day, he's our helper. So that's saying he's your guarantee of more to come. When somebody gives you a down payment, that means, hey, I'm going to give you this money. That's my promissory note that I'll come back and pay the balance. Now, you know what? Now, people are liars. They'll even give you a down payment and you never see them again. But I get that. But that's the fault of human flesh, right? I've never understood anybody doing that. But you might have had somebody give you a down payment before and you never saw them again. You ended up selling the thing to somebody else, you know? But I tell you what, when the Lord makes the guarantee, let God be true and every man a liar, is what Paul said. Amen. God will be true and faithful. And when he gives you a guarantee of the Holy Spirit, you don't have to worry. It's coming through. Amen. He is the God of all comfort. And I just need to stop right there tonight. But I hope tonight you'll be encouraged. And then verse 11, by the way, I like it again. Ye also helping together by prayer. That's another come beside you aid that God has given us. When you pray for people like you're going to do tonight, you're coming by their side. You're giving them aid. Amen? And they can feel the strength of your prayer because God is answering that prayer and helping and giving the comforter or the more of the comfort that you need. Amen? Let's bow our heads tonight as we think about it. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this passage of Scripture. We thank you, Lord, for this the truths that are here and the comfort that is here. And I pray, Lord, you just give us all that the comfort that we need tonight as a church and as a family and as individuals going through various diverse trials, different things. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us, God, to know that you have delivered, you are delivering, you will yet deliver. And we want to trust you and thank you for it. I hear tonight, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you to those who may have watched us this evening, and hopefully you got something out of that that will be a help to you. And those that are here, we're going to go offline there, and we're going to take some time here to share some prayer requests and pray before we leave here tonight. All right?